All right. Well, it's good to again see each one of you here tonight, and I trust as we've been going through the series of messages, A Guide for Making Musical Choices, that these Bible principles have been that which have been encouraging and helpful to you in this particular area. As I mentioned, as I've came acquainted with many of these principles from God's Word and heard messages on them and heard teaching concerning what I've been teaching you, I wondered why I hadn't heard these things before. I'd been a Christian a good number of years already, but I was reading an article not too long ago by someone who was talking about this area of music. The title of his article was A Biblical Foundation for Music, and one of the things, points that he made in this article was that many pastors are failing to teach their people along this area. The ones who are the most knowledgeable of the Word of God are the least knowledgeable when it comes to this area of music, and yet they should be aware of these things. And I know some pastors can't carry a tune in a bucket, and that's fine. God probably didn't give them that particular ability, but that they have the ability to study the Word of God, they know the Word of God, and they can teach these Bible principles concerning music, even though they can't sing. Lives need to be aware. We need to be, as Christians, aware of these principles, and that's why I'm trying to teach us these things. Tonight, we've been talking about a number of areas about music, and tonight we want to talk about the gospel of music. And once again, our theme verse is Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, let me repeat something I have said earlier in this study, and that is when it comes to worship in modern churches of America, the key words seem to be today contemporary, different, or non-traditional. And what we need is to be biblical. What are the Bible principles of godly worship, especially in respect to the music we use in our local church? Why do we, as a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, have a certain kind of music that we use, and why do we reject the so-called contemporary Christian music of this day? Many churches like ours are not rejecting it, and they're starting to accept it and use it. Even our missionaries this morning expressed to us when we had lunch the problems that they have in Germany, but that they're seeing also in some of their supporting churches. And they were thankful for the music they heard in this church. And so why do we do it this way? We need a Bible standard of worship, not only in our church, but also in our homes. If you turn to Ecclesiastes 7:5, there is a verse there that I want us to look at just a little bit here as we begin. Ecclesiastes 7:5, it says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Now, I want you to notice the phrase, "It is better." It is better. Now, by those words, we know that there's a choice that's being made. We're talking about making choices in our lives concerning our music. And so when it says, "It is better," that means that something's this way, or you know, which one is better? Okay? He's saying it is better. So we know this is a choice. Now, let me ask you a question. And you may have your opinions. But I don't know why there's some bugs around here this morning. I feel like I'm on the Peanuts cartoon. The little guy that's got dirt rolling around him. But anyway, get back to this. Maybe it's because I'm going to talk about steak and liver. That's why the bugs came out. How many of you think liver is better than a T-bone steak? Anybody? You wanna, how many vote for T-bone steak? Anybody tonight? How many would vote for liver and onions? There's a couple of people. I knew that there would be a few people that would say, "Okay, yeah, I like that liver and onions." I never did acquire a taste for liver. I don't know that I ever will. Some have said you ought to do what they did in the Old Testament. They took the inner parts of the animals outside the city and they burned them and buried them. That's what I think you should do with liver. Okay, some of you agree with me on that. But maybe you think liver's okay. It is edible, I think. But I think T-bone steak is better. Don't you? Especially if I have a choice. You're going to give me a choice. You're going to have this nice, juicy T-bone steak, or you're going to have this plate of liver and onions. I think the T-bone steak is my choice, okay? Now, again, this passage in Ecclesiastes 7:5 is talking about a choice. It says, it is better to hear rebuke. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Nobody likes to hear rebuke. Nobody likes to be chewed out for something they've done wrong. Nobody likes to be rebuked. Nobody likes saying, hey, buddy, you're wrong and you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Even as a young man, as a child, or when I was making a bad choice and my parents said, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. Nobody likes it. But the Bible says that of the two choices that we have, it is better to be rebuked. It is better to be chastened. It is better to be corrected. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Now that word wise there in that verse is a very important word in the Bible. The word wisdom is also important. It's better to hear the rebuke of a wise man. Now, what makes a person wise? Is it education? No, education doesn't make a wise person. You can have all kinds of letters behind your name and have gone to many, many years of school, and that doesn't make you a wise person. Now, you'll be knowledgeable, but that doesn't make you a wise person. Education is not Bible witness, a wisdom. You can read all the books in the world, but book knowledge is not wisdom. Now, wisdom all through the Bible is a relationship with God Almighty. And the closer a person gets to God, the wiser that person becomes. The closer you get to Jesus Christ, the closer you will get to God, the more holy life you will live, and the closer you get to living the Word of God, the wiser you will become. Now, in the Bible it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is a person who is far away from God. But the wise person is a person who is close to God. And the closer you get to the wiser, the closer you get to God, the wiser you get. The further away you get from God, the more foolish you become. Here it says, it is better, and here's your choice. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. Again, who are the wise? A person close to God. It doesn't make any difference who this person is. It could be a mom or a dad. It could be a boy or a girl, a pastor or a teacher. He says it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. It is better for us to listen to the rebuke of the wise man, a man close to God, a person close to God, than to hear the song of fools. Than for a man to hear the song of fools. Now, who is a fool? We said a person that's apart from God is a fool. Now, again, nobody likes to be referred to as a fool. If someone called you a fool, I think you'd be kind of offended. But tonight, I want us to see why what is called contemporary Christian music is really the song of the fool. Now, why would I say that? Because there are certain characteristics of contemporary Christian music, or what we know as CCM, that show us just that. Now, the music of this world system is the music of fools. It's the music of those who are apart from God. And yet we have those who call themselves Christians and they want us to believe that it's all right to sing the music of the world in our churches, listen to it on our radios, on our iPods, our MP3 players, our CD players, and if you're really still living in the dark ages, on your cassette player. Okay? Anybody still have an 8-track? 8-track now, okay? You know, okay. Boy, you've been around a while, haven't you? Hanging on to that stuff. That's going to be valuable someday. I don't know for what, but we need to be careful what we listen to on our listening devices. Some would say, they've changed the words, and that makes it all right. Yeah, they've taken the world's music, but they've put some sacred words or some religious words, some Bible words even. Now, some people have no qualms about trying to make the top 10 songs in the secular world and in the top 10 in the contemporary Christian world at the same time. But I tell you that you cannot serve two masters. It won't work. And so we're going to talk about CCM tonight. Why is it so dangerous? And I'm going to give you some basis and some characteristics here. So first of all, let's look at the basis of Christian contemporary music. Now remember, our theme verse in recent messages has been Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We're to put everything to the test, and we're to use as our standard the Word of God. I would be afraid to teach you these things if it was not based upon the Word of God. If I didn't have the Bible to back me up on these principles, I would be wasting my time. For me to be a preacher of the Bible and to know how the devil is using his music to bring a false gospel, for me to just say I ought to love everybody and say not say anything, that would be wrong. And this is a very real issue that faces our lives in our church and in churches around the country today. We must see what God's Word says about it. Now in Luke 8:18 it says, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." How ye hear. In Mark 4:24 it says, "Take heed, be warned, what ye hear." Someone has said, there is a brand of Christianity that is frightening to behold, yet it is the only religion some people profess. Now the reason some people are using the kind of music they are today is because they just don't know anything else. But the Word of God is absolutely clear about this, as we've already shown. Now that person who said this went on to say, they're living on substitutes and don't know it. If they're confronted with a genuine article, they wouldn't recognize it or be willing to pay the price for it. Christianity involves a sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the God, which is your reasonable service." Now, if we look over in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, notice what it says in Galatians 1 and verse 6. Paul said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now, many people don't realize that there is another gospel. They see anyone with a Bible and they think, well, that must be a born-again Christian. They must be all right. Anybody claiming to be born again must be born again, right? Years ago, when a person said they were born again, you would have known what they're talking about, but not today. Those involved even in transcendental meditation, an Eastern religion, say that they are born again. So you can't believe what people say when they say they're born again. You don't know what they're talking about unless you really get to know them a little better. But we can see here how quickly people leave the truth. Look at verse 7. "Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now notice the words, "not another." Now what does that mean? Well, at the end of the verse, you see what it means. It means perverted. They have taken something that is precious and something that is pure, and they've turned it into something that is impure. Now, people are deceived by Satan because he comes close to the truth. Now, earlier I talked about getting close to God. And there I was talking about a relationship. Here I'm talking about the truth or doctrine. The closer he, that is Satan, comes to the truth, the worse he gets. Let me illustrate this. Now, in another message, I played the piano for you. Tonight, I'm going to do something amazing. I'm going to play the piano and sing at the same time, okay? I'm not going to sing, I'm just going to sing a note, okay? No, no, no. Amazing, isn't it? You say, that wasn't too bad. He got close, right? Not close enough. I wasn't on the pitch I played. That's what Satan does. He tries to give you some truth, a little bit of truth, that's close to the Bible, but it's not quite there. And so we need to be careful with what we listen to, what we hear, how we hear. The closer you come, the worse it gets. Now, if I'd gone down maybe just another pitch of my voice, it probably wouldn't have sounded too bad. But when sometimes you try to get that pitch right next to the other pitch, it kind of grates on our ears, right? Some of you might have thought that sounded pretty good, but that's like many Christians who show them the false gospel and they say, well, that didn't sound bad. That sounded pretty good. Now, if you think this is kind of harsh, let's just read on in this passage in Galatians verses 8 and 9. It says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, as Paul says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's strong language. Well, someone asked, someone said this, Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. And by the way, some are trying to present it as entertainment. Christianity is a demanding and serious religion. When it is delivered as easy and amusing, it is a different kind of religion altogether. Let's just look at that word music. The word music comes from the word muse. The word muse means to think. You know, you're supposed to think when you sing. When you listen to music, you're supposed to think. Music comes from the word muse, which means to think. Now there's another word, amuse, or amuse, like in amusement, means not to think. If you go to do something that's just amusing, you're not really thinking about it. It's just having fun. What about this ad I saw in a Christian magazine for a t-shirt? On the t-shirt was a logo that looked like a Budweiser beer logo. But instead of Budweiser, they had the word God is wiser. And instead of King of Beers, they had King of Kings. And at the bottom, that said, His blood's for you. Now, to me, that's blasphemy. Someone might say, oh, they're just trying to get out the gospel and get people saved. No, I submit to you that they're preaching another gospel. They're using the names, the terms, and the words of Christianity, but that's not the gospel of the Bible. Now let's look at the characteristics of Christian contemporary music. Now I'm not opposed to new music. I believe there are good, godly people writing new songs that are biblically based and they bring glory to the Lord. We have some in our hymn books and we sing some of these new songs in our choir. But I am opposed to what is called contemporary Christian music. And you say, why is that? Because it's worldly, sensual, and heretical music. Now I realize not all CCM musicians are the same. Some may genuinely be born again. But some are not. Many are not. But God has given us a responsibility. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. And then in 1 John 4:1, watch out for false teachers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or prove or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so we need to guard against unsound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:3, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightst charge some that teach no other doctrine. Verse 3 says, we need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, Christian contemporary music is mostly rock and roll. I say mostly, and that covers about every style of music in the contemporary Christian music area. Some large Christian bookstores, if you go into them, they have a music section, and they'll have divisions for their music. They'll have contemporary, they'll have praise and worship, they'll have rap, they'll have country, they'll have alternative, hard, techno drive, southern gospel, black gospel, and there's a division within Christian contemporary music, that is CWM, which is contemporary worship music. Now, I want to give you six characteristics of contemporary Christian music and why it is dangerous for us as Christians. And I believe these characteristics identify CCM. First of all, they identify CCM as an unscriptural philosophy. You see, a CCM is built upon the premise that music itself is a neutral force. It's amoral. That only the song's words determine its morality. We've talked about this some in our this series already. But CCM therefore incorporates the full spectrum of modern rock, folk, jazz, country music, believing that any style of music is acceptable to carry the Christian message and to glorify Jesus Christ. Is music a neutral force? I say no. Ask common sense. Ask knowledgeable men from centuries past. Ask professionally trained musicians. Ask a movie maker. Ask an advertiser. Ask a tavern owner. Ask the band or the orchestra director. Ask the rock band. Ask the music lover. But most importantly, ask the Bible. Is it amoral? The Bible doesn't lead us that way. Because in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Again, Psalms, we've talked about this, and some of you weren't here last week, so that we can go over some of these things again. And if we have some new people next week, we'll maybe go over some of what we can just keep going round and round. We can keep talking about this for a long time. And it's one of the reasons why some of this is repetitive is because some of you are not here every time, and so I want you to get it. And those that are here every time, you must need it more than everybody else, because we have to talk about it. But psalms and hymns and spiritual songs do not describe the world's music. God's word is reminding us there is a music which is fitting to the Christian life, and there is a music which is not fitting. And it is a Christian's responsibility and task in every generation to glorify God only with the type of music that is fitting for that exalted task. And the music is to be spiritual as opposed to carnal. Now, the philosophy that music is neutral and that apart from the words, it has no influence or voice of its own is the devil's lie. And this is a false philosophy. It's being used to build ecumenical end-time apostate religion. So this is one of the identifying marks of CCM. Secondly, CCM can also be identified by its sensual rhythm. Now, this is something we talked about in our last two series, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but we spoke about this in our last message and how that there are three parts of man and that they relate to the three parts of music. Our spirit relates to the melody. Our mind relates to the harmony. Our body relates to the rhythm. Now, rhythm is not wrong. It just cannot be misused. Rhythm is a necessary part of music. It's what keeps the music moving, but it should not dominate. And we said last week, I hope that everyone listening to this has rhythm. That is, a pulse. Everybody needs to have a pulse, right? But if that pulse starts sticking out and getting out of control, we know that something's wrong and that you're sick. And it's the same way in music. If the pulse, the rhythm, gets out of control, the music is sick. Now, the right use of rhythm is a matter of balance, spirit, soul, and body. And God's Word plainly tells us what is to be the priority. The Christian is to focus on the spiritual above the physical. And the rhythm of the song must match the lyrics of the song and communicate exactly the same message. Thirdly, CCM can also be identified by its ecumenicism. CCM is ecumenical music. In fact, CCM is one of the glues that holds together the end times ecumenical movement. I don't know of one CCM artist who will take the Bible seriously by attempting to separate from and warn plainly of doctrinal error and of those who are committed heresy. CCM is a music of ecumenical evangelism, and it's epitomized by the Billy Graham crusades for many years now and many others. Let me give you an example of a song, and I'm not going to play the song for you, but I'm going to give you the words. This is a CCM song that goes like this. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. We don't agree. We don't know why. But Jesus prayed that we'd all be one for the sake of God's own Son. Can we put away our differences, lay aside our pride? I think it's time we start turning the tide. That's deep, right? No, it's very shallow. And it's a misrepresentation, a wrong and false ecumenical interpretation of John chapter 17 and verse 21, which claims that the unity for which Christ prayed is an ecumenical unity of professing Christians which disregards Bible doctrine. You know, doctrine's not important for many of these CCM artists. In fact, there are many churches today that they downplay doctrine. Doctrine's not important. It's not important what you believe. It's just that we all come together and love God and have a good time and just, you know, get in the spirit of things, you know? But the context of John 17 destroys this myth. I had one fellow that I was talking to in the little town I pastored a church, my first church, and he said, you know, we have a church over here, but we don't emphasize doctrine. You know, it's like ice cream. You have, you like chocolate ice cream, somebody else likes strawberry, somebody else likes blueberry, whatever. You'll have your, but we just all like ice cream, right? Well, that's real deep too. But it's false. It's a false gospel. It's not what the Bible teaches. In John 17, the Lord plainly emphasizes that the unity He desires is one based on salvation and truth. It's not a unity of true Christians with false Christians. It's not a unity that ignores doctrinal differences for the sake of an enlarged fellowship. Contemporary Christian music is ecumenical music, and for this reason alone, it should be deeply suspect. Churches that do not allow ecumenical speakers, do not participate in ecumenical meetings and organizations, are not wise to allow ecumenical music. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33 is where that's found. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, it says in Galatians 5 and verse 9. And so Christian contemporary music is identified by its ecumenicism. Next, it's identified by its charismatic associations. Its charismatic associations. A trusted biblical musician said this, speaking to pastors, he said this, there are many CCM performers who do not believe the Bible. And yet, we allow them to sing in our homes, the homes of our people, on a daily basis without warning. And if you would not allow a charismatic preacher in your pulpit, why let one sing to your people? He said, I'm not trying to portray all charismatics as unsaved, but we certainly do not want them to be our teachers. To keep doctrine pure, we must separate from those who teach false doctrine and never give them an audience in our churches. Now, I can't and I won't come into your home and say, don't you listen to that rotten music. But I will not fail to warn you from this pulpit about the dangers of listening to the wrong kind of music. I think that's my responsibility, to preach and teach the whole counsel of God's Word. And that's a part of God's Word. I do have that responsibility to warn you, to teach you the principles and help you make those choices in your music. Now also, CCM can be identified by its weak and unscriptural message. It's weak and unscriptural message. Defenders of Christian contemporary music protest that music is really, the music's not important. It's really the words of the song that are important. Now we know that's not true. We know that the music of a song makes a statement just as plainly as the words of that song, and the message preached by CCM music is sensual and unholy. Now, forgetting the music for a moment, what about the words of contemporary Christian music? Let me make three observations along this line. First of all, the words are frequently unclear. When you're listening to much of what is called contemporary Christian music, it is often loud and riotous, so much that the words simply cannot be understood. It's interesting that when Christian young people want to defend their love for secular rock music, they argue, oh, we don't listen to the words, we just listen to the music. But then they turn around when they want to defend their love for Christian rock music, they argue, well, it's only the words that matter. But most of the time, you can't even understand what's being sung. And that's probably the main reason most CDs come with the words printed on the jacket, you know, so you can understand what's being sung. So the words are frequently unclear. Secondly, the message is weak and vague. Much of CCM can be described as trite, shallow, simple, and entertaining. Again, I won't play a song for you, but you probably wouldn't understand the words if I played it. But take my word for it, it's just plain hard rock music. And so notice the great doctrinal truths in this song. It's entitled, When Things Get Electric. See the fire streak through the sky, children watching and wondering why. Blameless blood cries from the ground. Justice sleeping, open your ears to the sound. Moving waves cover the earth like a woman who's soon giving birth. Feel the tension taking its form as dark clouds gather. Run for the eye of the storm, etc., etc., etc. We could go on and on and on with this deep doctrinal song. Now, what does that song mean? Now, it could be, you know, you could stretch it a bit and refer to the coming of Christ. But it could mean many other things as well, couldn't it? Because really the meaning is not clear. Without clear meaning, there can be no salvation and no Christian growth. The Spirit of God works through understanding. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with understanding also. He said that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. You know, this is an hour of incredible spiritual confusion. And false Christs and false gospels abound today. And unless the meaning of a religious or spiritual message is absolutely clear, it leaves a great deal of room for error and delusion. There's a third observation about this unscriptural message, and that is the words are scripturally heretical. scripturally heretical. Many times, the words in Christian contemporary music are positive only. They're non-judgmental in doctrine. That's a recurring theme of CCM. It has an anti-fundamentalist doctrine. CCM artists are not our friends. It has a Pentecostal charismatic doctrine. It has an ecumenical doctrine. We've already talked about it. It has a man-centered, experience-centered doctrine. Again, the Bible is not man-centered. Paul did not focus on his failings or his imperfections. What did Paul focus on? He exalted Jesus Christ and the victory that comes only through Him. And then the words are often a blasphemous doctrine. An example of this would be another song entitled Addicted to Jesus. Hey, all you brothers and sisters too, don't let tradition tell you what to do. Release your worries and your fears. Cause we've been hopping in the church for years. If King David was here, I know that he would do the Holy Ghost hop with me. It's a blasphemous doctrine. And then there's an easy believism, a no repentance doctrine. And there are many other false doctrines promoted by these musicians. And we need to beware of the heretical teaching connected with the songs of contemporary Christian music and those who sing them. And then contemporary Christian music can also be identified by its worldliness. One of the chief attributes of CCM is its worldliness or unholiness. Holy means what? Holy means set apart for God. Holy means separate. Holy means different, distinct. Unholy means not separated from the world, not distinctly different. And that's the essence of CCM. It fails to make a plain distinction between the world and the things of God. It's not separated from the world unto God, and the Bible is very plain about this very subject. CCM has a worldly appearance. You just look at the posters that advertise Christian, quote, Christian concerts these days. I get them coming through the mail here all the time. They send it to every church around, and I get these all the time. I mentioned one last week about the Alive concert that's held every year for the last 27 years in Ohio. Very worldly. You look at the people that are on those posters, and they look like just somebody that's going to appear down here at the tavern, live music. They have a worldly manner of presentation. They're concerts, right? I kind of hesitate to use that word these days. Sometimes we have a Bible college come in and they kind of give us a concert. But many times Christian contemporary music is more of a performance than a ministry. It's filled with a lot of applause and cheering and all that goes with that. I never encourage our people to applaud after special music here at Spooner Baptist Church. Now, let me just say that many times we know when the adults get up and sing, we say amen. We need to do the same thing when little children get up. But we have a tendency to applaud the little children, but not amen them, okay? We need to be careful. I know they're cute, okay? And that's kind of, we get an emotional thing about that. And that's why we like to clap our hands for the little kids. But that's just kind of setting us up for more applause down the line. We're not here for men's applause. We're here to glorify God. And we need to teach our children that. We need to teach our young people that. CCM incorporates worldly techniques, instruments and drums and guitars and light and smoke. And the swaying and the dancing and the scooping and the sliding and the whispery, breathy voices and so forth. I'm thinking of kind of making a message that kind of ties up a lot of the things that we've been talking about and kind of some odds and ends. And some of that technique that we find in CCM that they use, the world uses. It has a worldly lifestyle. You check into some of the private lives of some of these groups that go around and travel to these concerts, and they're just as worldly as they come. It has world ties financially. They imitate secular music. They have a love for secular music. And I already mentioned a couple of people and played examples for you earlier. Getty and Townend, popular in many churches, even Baptist churches today. But they claim their inspiration came from the Beatles. That's where they got their inspiration. You see, there's a close tie with the world for many of these Christian contemporary musicians. And so when you fellowship with the music of rock or country, and if you fellowship with those who sing and perform, then you're fellowshipping with their works. The Bible says over and over to the child of God, go from the presence of foolishness. The Bible says flee fornication. The Bible says abhor that which is evil. Over and over it tells us to stay away from darkness. Over and over it tells us to stay away from foolishness. Over and over it tells us to stay away from that which is of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why? Because it'll tarnish you. It'll tempt you. And it'll lead you astray. And I hope you can see why I say that even contemporary Christian music is a song of fools. There are those who would have you believe that, well, it's all right to listen to those songs. It's all right to use that music in your church services. Not according to God's word. Again, notice what it says. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise, the instruction, the correction of the word of God, the man of God who is close to God, whether it be your parent, your teacher, your pastor, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. You listen to the song of fools and you become a fool. You listen to wisdom and you become wise. Ephesians 5:10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let me just relate to you this personal experience. I preached and taught much of this material to some young people in a church that I pastored. And I had a teenage girl accuse me of using Scripture for my own purposes. Many of the passages that I shared with you tonight, they said, you just took those out of context and you put them together for your own purposes because you don't like my kind of music. She finally left the church, very upset, went on her own way. It wasn't too much later, as she got out of high school, I saw where she was defending gay and lesbian activity on her college campus. Really living for the Lord. No. She didn't listen to the rebuke of the wise, and she became a fool. And so I trust tonight that we'll realize it's better. You may say, well, Pastor, you're pretty harsh on this particular area. Well, I'm just trying to give you what the Bible tells us. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Let's pray. Father,